welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the New Stream Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune, and I know the question a lot of you will be asking is, why are you even doing a podcast? There's no game this week. Well, we just like to get in the flow of doing them every week, so we're going to do one anyway. Yes, it is the Tigers bye week, but we got plenty to talk about from last week, and then we'll look ahead a little bit too at a certain point. But, Kyle, I think the biggest thing that I want to ask you about from last week's 24-17 loss to Florida was just it was kind of right there, wasn't it? I mean, it was like a game where you just felt like even when they weren't playing well, they were hanging around, and it just felt like maybe they got a shot at this one, but they just never got that shot at that one.
And third week in a row, too. I mean, you feel like that against Florida. You definitely feel like you have a shot against Georgia when you have a lead in the second half.
Right.
You feel like you've got the shot against Auburn because you should win that game.
Right.
On the
and that game was ugly enough that, yeah, everybody had a shot in that one.
I mean, that's multiple games in a row where you're going like, yeah, Missouri not only has a shot, but should probably win.
Right.
And they just haven't been able to finish.
And I guess that's the kind of, again, I don't think we went into a lot of these games thinking that they were going to have a chance or to be as close as they were in some of these instances, which I guess just goes to show you that they're not maybe that far away, but they're still far away because the teams that get the wins in those games make the plays that they have to make to get to that point.
Yeah, I guess definitely not against Georgia. Listening
right.
to, you know, if you go
sure.
back and listen to that
right.
podcast, we were
right.
predicting a much wider margin of victory
yeah,
for
exactly.
Georgia.
Exactly, yeah.
Against Auburn and against Florida, I would say, you know, I would have thought coming in that they had a chance.
Right.
Florida, I don't think Florida's as good as I thought they were.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big thing that I took out of that game.
Sure.
I thought Florida was better than that.
And it's granted, it's tough. It's a one-game sample size. But I think, you know, I've watched portions of other games and seen them look better than
yeah,
what they did.
Definitely.
So sometimes you go, I don't know what it is. Was it just that day? But I think you're right. I think it's also a team where we're going to look back at some point and go, you know, maybe we didn't think that was maybe a more 50-50 game than it was going into that one. But I think, you know, that's one that was there for the taking. Unfortunately, I think that whole game, and again, they had chances later on and they did play well at times. I just felt like that whole game swung with the pick six that just,
yeah.
it just felt like it was such a deflator early on that yes, you were digging out of a hole the whole rest of the way.
Definitely. I mean, both interceptions were backbreaking.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Any pick six is going to be, like you said, deflating, where it's like, well, now we just got to go back out and try again.
Right.
And that's just a terrible feeling for an offense. That second pick that ends a longer drive where you're in the red zone, it looks like you're about to go down and score.
Right.
And then a pick at, what, like the five, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, that one, I think, is the one where it's like, man, all right, this isn't going to happen.
Right. And it's, you know, and it's a player in both those instances where it's the same guy, and it's a guy that we were maybe wondering, you know, based on injuries and, you know, and especially even in the preseason, they're like, we don't know if he's going to be coming back or if he'll be contributing this year. And you're almost like, man, if we could have just kept that guy on the sidelines and kept him out of this game, you know, how much better off might have Mizzou have been in this one?
Or there was a story that came out, I think, right after the game where it was like, oh, yeah, you know, he was planning on wearing a knee brace. He'd been wearing this big fat knee brace all week in practice, and they showed up to the game and he saw it sitting on the sidelines and he left it where it was. He went in on the field and well, yeah, and then he got two interceptions, one for a touchdown, and I guess he's not wearing that knee brace anymore.
I was gonna say, and he didn't look like he needed it for sure in that game. You know, I think there's so many points in that game where you think about it and you go, okay, we could have done this, we could have done that. And I think there's certain things where you go, let's not forget about the good things that maybe did happen. And the biggest one for me, I think, was probably just the fact that this was the Nathaniel Pete game, I think, that we were all kind of waiting for, that we thought when he transferred in, this might be the kind of guy he might be.
I was going to point that out, too. I think kind of these last few games, you know, he didn't necessarily shine against Auburn, but he almost had the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
You know, a foot away from it. He looked pretty good against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, over 100 yards this week, solid game. I
yep.
think Pete, in these past few games, has really taken the job as the top back and started to really run with it.
And I think, you know, it's maybe getting to be a little more of what we thought this might be in the early parts of the season from the standpoint of, you know, we felt like, okay, they've got maybe an outside quick back in Pete. We got an inside bruiser in Schrader. And both of them did do good things. I mean, Schrader had a nice little touchdown run that he got early in the game. And I feel if we can just keep them both progressing, I think, is what I'm looking for, is the fact that this is kind of what we thought we might have early on, and now they're kind of to the point where we thought it might have been earlier. So if we can just keep both of them kind of doing what they've got, then that becomes something that maybe helps them get a little more, you know, a little more potent as the season goes along, a little more diverse, because I feel like they're kind of more what we thought we might have had earlier on.
Yeah, and I mean, the offense definitely looked better against Florida. It was starting to move a bit more, and I think that was a big part of it. If you're able to actually run the ball, that opens up the passing game a lot more.
Right.
And they were able to spread it around a good bit. It wasn't just the Dominic Lovett show like it has been a couple of times.
Right. And that's another thing that's an interesting point, is that I think we went into that game thinking that he wasn't likely to play a whole lot, and he played more than I thought he was going to, and he looked pretty good at times. I mean, you could tell he was hampered, but I think it was nice to see him out there, because there were a couple things where I was like, oh, he is out there. Good for him. That's going to help, you know. So I think it was kind of nice that you know, he did get to contribute when it was maybe a, you know, game time decision where we were thinking, well, we might not see him much at all. So I guess we got to ask about Luther Burden. So, I mean, I guess that was one thing that was another down point that came out of that. It sounds like it was an ankle injury. They had to help him off the field. Do we know anything more about his status? I know they're typically pretty tight-lipped about those things these days. So how long-term do we think that might be for him?
I haven't seen much at all about it. I don't really know. I know he was listed as, I think, questionable going into the game. It might just be a situation where you're looking at that and they don't necessarily want to say that he's out long-term. They, you know, just want to keep saying, yeah, you know, questionable.
Right.
Maybe doubtful, but questionable, right? And it's just, oh, this turns into a 2-week, a 3-week, a 4, maybe the rest of the year type of thing. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not trying to insinuate anything.
Sure, but, sure.
You know, it might just be one of those situations where it's like, yeah, he's questionable, and then he doesn't play. And then he's questionable, and then he doesn't play. So, who knows?
And before we kind of turn our thoughts forward, I think one more thing that I thought at least was pleasantly surprising to me was, we had talked going into that game about how, you know, Anthony Richardson was a load for Florida. It was going to be tough to stop. And I feel like overall they did a pretty good job with him. I feel like the defense played very, very well at times. I felt like maybe they got a little worn down towards the end of the game again, which...
It's like, yeah, we've seen that the last couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Plays really well early and then just kind of wears down because they're on the field too much.
Right. But I think overall, you know, if you would have told me before going into that game that, you know, they were going to limit him to what they did in terms of just his overall production, I think, you know, we probably would have taken it from the standpoint of, you know, he rushed for only 45 yards and I think threw for 60 some. So, you know, if you had told me where they're going to hold him 100 yards total offense, I think we would have been pretty pleased with that going into the game.
Absolutely. I think if you tell me that going into the game that those are his numbers coming out of it and he plays the whole game, I would assume you won.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of the thing where you did a really good job stopping him and win.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're able to stop the other team's best player in that effective of a fashion, you have to then be able to turn around and turn it into a win.
So it leaves the Tigers now 2-4 overall, 0-3 in the SEC. But I feel like almost like these 2 weeks have kind of not necessarily maybe turned me around, but it's got me a lot more hopeful going into this next stretch of the season, where, again, we got a bye week this week, and then we're heading into two games, Vandy and South Carolina, which I felt like, even when things were bad and they were struggling a little bit, that I thought, okay, those are still two winnable games. Now I almost feel like if they don't come out with wins in those two games, I'll be disappointed, because it's almost like those are games that, yes, were winnable before and are now seem even more winnable. So I guess, you know, as they regroup this week and get healthy and all the other stuff that goes on with off weeks, we're kind of entering an important stage of the season now, I think, where, you know, you're hosting Vandy in that next game, and I feel like that's got to be a game where you come out and you just play well and get things going, because I feel like, you know, if you don't get that one to get to 3-4, then all of a sudden you're 2-5, and then the whole rest of the season's kind of just hanging in the balance, you know.
I think Vandy and South Carolina are probably must-win games.
Right.
Especially coming off a bye. But I think kind of on what you were saying the last 2 weeks, making you more hopeful, for me it's mostly just the Georgia game. I mean, how well this team played against Georgia has me feeling that, you should absolutely beat Vandy. You should absolutely beat South Carolina. You're going to beat New Mexico State.
Yeah.
So 3-3 out of the last six is expected.
Sure.
I would say.
Sure.
At this point. And 4-2 I don't think is unreasonable. Those other three games are all pretty tough.
Right.
But if you're able to play that well against Georgia, play that well against Florida, you know, if you're just able to take that just that last step and finish in one of those other three tough games, you go 4-2 in the last six, you end up 6-6 on the season, go to a bowl. That's a fine season.
I think I may be a little bit higher on the Florida result than you are based on what you just said, only because I think the thing to me was watching Missouri in the early stages of the season, I almost felt like not only was it just not a pretty looking product, but I just wondered about kind of their overall athleticism from the standpoint of I thought they might get into the SEC and just get their doors blown off by better athletes.
Especially after the Kansas State.
Sure, absolutely. After that game, it looked like this is not a very good team. And I just felt like even though they didn't play well or didn't execute certain things that you needed to do well in that Florida game, I felt like never once did I feel like, oh my gosh, they don't even belong in the same field as these athletes. It was almost like, hey, these guys are just as good as those guys. Now you just got to make the two or three or four important plays in the game to make that difference. So again, I almost felt like if you had told me after maybe the first two or three games of the season, does Missouri have, you know, better athletes or as good athletes as Vandy? I would have been like, I don't even know if they have as good as an athletes as Vandy. Now I'm feeling like they're going to have the advantage at athlete over a lot of the Vandy guys. South Carolina, that may be a different story. I don't know much about South Carolina. I haven't seen them. But I feel like that was a thing where I was questioning them a lot. I'm questioning them a lot less in terms of that lately. So it almost makes me feel like, okay, now if they can just get things figured out, you know, game scheme or wrinkle-wise, then maybe that makes me feel better going forward. But I do agree. These are two that we got to have one way or the other. Doesn't matter what the scenario is.
I think there's a pretty easy case to be made that you're two plays away from two more wins.
Sure.
Auburn, obviously, if you don't fumble in overtime into the end zone, you win that game. That's an easy one-play fix.
Right.
I think against Georgia, there was a play in the fourth quarter after Georgia scored its first touchdown. Missouri was driving. It was like 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 9, something like that. And Brady Cook threw a pass over the middle to Barrett Bannister. He caught it, got the first down, and Missouri instead got called for a hands-to-the-face penalty at the offensive line, got pushed back,
right,
and then ended up punting. Georgia goes down, scores again to take the lead. If you take out that penalty, I think there's a pretty good case to be made. Like, they were already driving.
Right.
If you go down and kick another field goal, you take another couple minutes off the clock, I think there's a good case to be made that you end up winning that game if you just don't have that penalty.
Right.
So if you're in a place where two plays are the difference in you having two wins and you having four wins at this point in the season,
sure,
having played Georgia already,
right,
I think you're in a pretty good spot considering,
yeah,
considering the record.
Absolutely.
You know, if you look at it, I think they're in a much better spot than what you might first assume just looking at the results.
Sure. All right, I think that should do it for this week because I think we're going to give you the week off on predictions. It's going to be the easiest week you're going to have to do for predicting anything.
I predict Missouri not to lose this week.
Well, that is a lock for sure. So, but that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabey on Twitter at Kyle_McArabey. That's McArabey. Thanks for listening.